we're still in the Sukkot Yom HaHalacha Aleph, and as I had mentioned last time, there's almost like no discussion of Oil HaShulchan Aruch except in this halacha. A little bit kind of, Oil HaShulchan Aruch means that for foods only required Pishul Yisrael, if they are, one rule is they have to be not edible raw, and second is they have to be Oil HaShulchan Aruch served at a king's table. Okay, only foods that are more sophisticated are the foods in the Pishul Yisrael.
So we're not talking about potatoes, we're talking about fish.
Well, we're going to talk about today what we mean by Oil HaShulchan. That's exactly what we have to talk about. Okay, and
that's the concept
is that it's a more fancier food.
So it wouldn't be potatoes. That would be below the dignity of a king.
We're going to talk exactly about that. Okay. Or almost exactly about that. Okay. Now, what's to me is a surprise is that until, I don't know, 20 years ago, we don't see any discussion in the post game what to explain. What does it mean to Shulchan Malachim? There's one very critical question, which to us it seems like an obvious question. And until, I don't know, how many years ago, no one talked about this question. It was as if it was obvious one of the ways. Okay? And obviously, everyone thinks it's obvious. The question is like this. When we say that it has to be Oil HaShulchan Aruch, and it has to be fit for a king, does that mean when the king is serving a royal dinner, meaning when the president of France comes, that's what I serve to him? That I serve him? He's now having an official royal meeting together? Or does it mean what the guy eats? Everyone is
happy.
Right, what does he eat? Do kings not eat certain foods? Okay, and to me, that seems like a very, I guess maybe because I've heard the child, it seems to make a very important and clear question. And yet, we don't see anybody talking about it until really very contemporary Poskim will talk about this question. You don't see anybody talking about it long ago, and I don't know why. We'll try to talk a little bit about it. And there was a story that came up recently, I forgot who sent it around, that brought out the point. Okay, it brought out the point for what it was missing. David, thanks, close the door. So, because, like this, there was a story said that they asked Rabbi Yashiv whether potato chips need Bishul Yisrael, and his answer, supposedly back, was, well, go find out whether President Obama eats potato chips. Okay, and the people who were saying the story over were saying it over in to chart. They were like picking up on the fact that he was using Obama as an example of a king. Okay, which it is. You know, the word Shulchan Malachim doesn't mean the guy has to have the formality of a king, you know, with a crown on his head. It means he's a person and a leader. So they called it then a Malach, and Obama, of course, qualifies as a leader. He only eats certain things. But what they forgot to ask him, so what the problem is, what they forgot to tell us, was the question, the more important question is, what he said is, what does Obama eat? Does he mean is, when Obama has a state dinner, does he serve it? And of course, we would say, of course he doesn't serve potato chips, right? They don't serve potato chips at a state dinner. Or does it mean is, when he's sitting around watching a Bears game, does he eat potato chips? And he might. I mean, so that's a whole different question. And the point was, they should have asked Rabbi Yashiv what he meant to say. I don't care whether Obama eats potato chips. The question is, it doesn't mean anything. Obama is considered the Malach. To us, that's obvious. The child is really, this is the more important question. Is when you want us to know whether Obama eats it? Should we ask him if he serves it when Netanyahu comes to visit him? Or should we ask him if he serves it when they're sitting in the backyard? Okay, that's for us the more important question.
Why is a question chips in the first place?
I don't know why someone asked the question. I don't even know if the story is true.
No, but it's a legend. Theoretically,
yeah.
Why would we ask on potato chips if it's fish in Israel as opposed to any other kind of
why did someone? Because that's what some guy asked him. Some guy just met him in the street and asked him this question. We have no.
Oh,
it's just
yes.
That's what I'm saying. This isn't potato chips. This isn't fish in Israel. So, okay. Another example, which someone asked me about this week, is they had roasted, I don't know if that's the right word. Broiled, I don't know if that's the right. What is the word? Corn on the cob. Okay, not cooked in a pot, not cooked in a microwave, cooked just over the fire. Okay, I don't know what the right word to say is. Okay, and for now, we're going to pretend that sweet corn on the cob, is not edible raw. Okay, we're going to get to that, I think, in Halacha Tezvah. Whether it is or is not considered Nechachai, it's a Shaila, had on the same Nechach, whether it is or not Nechachai. Just put that on the side. But presuming that it is, it's not Nechachai. The question is whether that food is Oil HaShulchan Aruch, which is to say, nobody would serve, if you were served at the White House, they would not serve you corn on the cob. That's not a formal food you would serve. But when the Obamas have a barbecue, they might put corn on the cob onto the barbecue. That might, they might do that. So they might serve it. They personally might eat it, but at a function, an official function, they wouldn't serve. Okay. Now.
Spinal corn.
Corn.
I know we spoke about it. Different shapes and forms.
Right.
That sounds like very similar. Corn on the cob, corn off the cob.
No.
Yes, you're right. You're right. So you
fried potatoes and.
So your question is, if one is olo shochach, if the sliced off ones is olo shochach, maybe then should be also even when it's still on the kav also. Okay, is that also in a roasted form? Now, the way you're serving it, this is cooked right on the fire, so to speak, as opposed to cooked in water. The way you'd usually serve it, the pieces is cooked in water. How much?
Yeah. No, it's just cooked in water.
Wisconsin.
Cooked in water first, and then they
probably.
No, Wisconsin.
No, they just
so
they roast it.
In fact,
a lot of places.
They're
a Huskan.
Man, he's a Huskan. Don't tell me, man.
He was in Pennsylvania, in Amish country.
He knows.
And the guys were roasting it right on the side of the road. Yeah. So he wanted whether it was kosher altogether, but
they do it with the peel on.
But I didn't get that much. I didn't get that much. Okay. Now the first record that I know of this Shiloh being asked.
Chicago.
The record of this Shiloh being asked is, there's a story Rabbi Ganak writes over in one of his farm. He writes over the story that Rav Shimon Schwab came to ask the Chazon Ish. He said to him, do you think that canned sardines need Bishul Yisrael? That was the Shiloh. So the Chazon Ish said, yes, they need Bishul Yisrael. Okay, which to us, before we go on, to us seems like the most, like one of the few halachas that it says about Oil HaShul Chumachim is that small fish, are not considered oil or shulchan aruch. Okay, it's in here later on. So when you think of that example, but the small fish are not fancy enough to be served on shulchan aruch. That part you think of sardines, right? That's what you think of. In very Belsky's inimitable way that he writes, Roisha shall say, but Tzadznava shall say. The way they put it in, okay, quoting Gemara. Yeah, the way they put them into the cans. So the Shiloh is the answer, Chazanish, is it oil or shulchan aruch? Okay, is it oil or shulchan aruch? So the Chazanish says, yeah, it needs Bishul Yisrael, it's oil or shulchan aruch. So Rav Schwab said, before World War II, many Rosh Yeshiva, maybe this even started happening before World War II, he said, many Rosh Yeshiva in Europe used to eat canned sardines because they held it down Ola Shulchan Aruch. To which the Chazon Ish didn't sort of directly answer that question. What the Chazon Ish said was, look, the King of England, this is how far I go back to the
story.
The King of England eats sardines for breakfast. Okay, however he knew that, eats sardines for breakfast. So you see, that's Ola Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so what is the Chazon Ish saying? Chazon Ish is saying,
what about the halach that's a small fish?
I don't know about that. I guess he would tell to you is that nowadays, you depend on it. Nowadays, the King of England eats it. So in the Shulchan Aruch, he might have said that small fish or not. The Shulchan Aruch, maybe in those days it wasn't. But if he says, if nowadays the King is eat small fish, then the King eats small fish. These are not set in stone. It depends on your times.
But when a king eats sardines, just as an example, you could have a half off his king that he's the only one in the world that will eat sardines, and the other ones wouldn't even come in the room when he's eating them. Does that really qualify?
Maybe not. You're conjecturing that the King of England, in his example, is unusual. You're right. I'm giving an example, because one of our Rebelsky's questions about this was, the Medrash says over a story that, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, eating a rabbit, a live rabbit he was eating. So I said, so should you think that because of that we should say that rabbits... That's another answer. But he says, so should you think, and you're right, so could have one Meshuggah McKee eats live rabbits, we're not going to prove from that. I never said a rabbit. He said live arnevis, that shouldn't prove that it makes it, you're right. But there's no reason to say that. If the King of England eats it for breakfast, maybe the Queen eats it nowadays, and maybe Obama eats it for breakfast. I don't know. There's nothing to think that it's unusual. But the Chazon Ish is saying that the only things that get excluded from Oil HaShulchan Aruch is things that are so unsophisticated. It would be like undignified for a king to eat it even in private. Okay, now, that kind of... Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Well, if he's a king, you know, England, when he washes TV, it's potato chips. That's not the thing that means that he's in bed.
Yeah.
It's not conveniently in being served to him, and the whatever, the master, the whatever comes in, right? Right.
I agree with you. Okay. We're gonna get to that in a second. I'm gonna say. Okay. I'm being more. I'm
not official.
You're right.
We're gonna wrap both cheers and run out.
I'm asking. At this point, I'm being more extreme. You're right. I'm gonna come back to this in a second, but you might be right, which is, I'm taking the extreme side, which is that the king, the only things excluded are the things that a king are so, like, undignified he wouldn't eat them at all. which nowadays would mean almost nothing. Because nowadays, just the world we live in, people don't have such dignity, and the king, there isn't almost anything that he wouldn't eat by himself. There's almost doesn't exist such a thing of things that nowadays the king wouldn't eat. It used to be, you know, that the king had more pride and he wouldn't eat. There's certain foods. No, that's not for me. Like you said, like potatoes. I'm too important to eat potatoes. But nowadays it's come out. No such thing of a king of a food that a king wouldn't eat.
Can I just say one other thing? Lashon says shulchan malachan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean shulchan malachan means when he eats his regular meals?
Okay, so we're going to get.
That's not when he's sitting in bed and watching TV.
I'm asking that. It's not clear from this story whether the Chazanish is limiting himself to like you're two saying, and maybe it's only what he eats at a meal, and even that has a certain level of what he eats,
right.
Or it means anything. Okay, we'll get back to that in a second. And the others, these unnamed Rosh Yeshiva, okay, these others hold that Shulchan Aruch means, that means is when he's acting as a king, meaning when he's hosting the heads of state, when he's hosting a cabinet meeting, that's what they serve, as opposed to just not what he eats by himself. Okay, that's so to speak the shiloh here. What does it mean shulchan malachim? Does he have to be functioning as a king then, or is he just even when he eats bechlal such a rule? Okay, now in trying to understand what this.
There is another reason why the Eshadim
is. You're saying there might be other reasons to be mako, but that's not
why they Eshadim.
Right, so that you're, if you would have been sitting at the story, you would have said your reasons why the sardines aren't doing it. But this is the story that happened. Rosh Rabban and the Chazanish were having this disagreement. They didn't get into maybe it's cooked with steam and it's canned and it's not. In fact, that wasn't what we're trying to get out of the story.
Not really.
Yeah, it's really hard for Rosh Rabban
understanding of those
shoes. That's good. Maskim. Okay. Now, I don't even know if we were not born when the story even happened. I wasn't. Okay. So now.
19.
Okay. Now, the Rabbi Ganak wants to say that this question is two Tzurtzim and Tosis. It depends on two Tzurtzim and Tosis. That's it. The two Tzurtzim and Tosis are arguing about this thing. What is that? The Tosis asks whether beer needs to be Bishul Yisrael, okay? Because you can't eat the grain raw. You can't eat the grain raw. But when it's finished, you can. So Tosfos asks, does it need to be Bishul Yisrael? Tosfos gives two answers. First answer is that beer is not Oil Shulchan Aruch. Okay. And the second answer is that the beer, the grains, are tafel to the water. We're going to see about this in Halacha Beis. It's considered, the main part of the drink is the liquid, and the grain is tafel to it. It's, secondary, it's not important, and therefore it doesn't need Bishul Yisrael. Okay, what exactly the second answer means, it's for the next halacha. Okay, it's not for now. Whatever that second answer means. So Rabbi Ganak is assuming that beer in those days, is the same as beer nowadays, and he says is that nowadays, at a formal dinner, you would serve wine and not beer. And the only time that Obama drinks beer in public was when he met with our esteemed policemen, and etc., what he said. So they had an informal...
On the lawn.
They had an informal meeting, and they drank beers together. That's what the bomb would drink beers together, informally. Okay, but in a formal setting, he wouldn't do it. Okay, and that's
true. That is so true.
So what? That's why we're waiting. We're waiting so many weeks. So that's the So Rabbi Ganak, and therefore Rabbi Ganak, I'm saying the first Teresa Tosis said it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim, because that Teresa Tosis holds that it has to be at the formal dinners that a king has, so therefore beer is not Ola Shulchan Malachim. The second Teresa doesn't hold to that, because the second Teresa holds anything the king would eat by himself is also considered Ola Shulchan Malachim. And since we know that Obama drinks Bud Light now that's what he drinks, so now he drinks it also, so even at his private setting, so Mamela, we can say that it's, Mamela, it could say that it's, It has to find a different reason why it doesn't need Bishul Yisrael. Okay, now this Shiloh, but
what? No,
he's
a London.
I didn't say no. If you read Tosis, you might not say like Rabbi Ganak does. Rabbi Ganak.
He's a London.
Right. If you read Tosis, it might just be too. It sounds like it's another reason, not
not as
more basic.
Okay. Now it would seem that the machlokes these two sides are having has to do with how you read the Rama, because the Gemara says that the rule is if a food is not Ola Shulchan Malachim, that food does not need Bishul Yisrael. Okay? The Rambam gives an example. It's giving one of his examples.
Olive too, right?
I don't remember. The Gemara is the Rambam is giving an example. He's giving an example of a certain food, and he said this food doesn't need Bishul Yisrael because he says it's a kind of a food that nobody would invite their friend over to eat that food. If you were, you don't invite people over to eat that kind of a food, whatever he's describing, and therefore it doesn't need Bishul Yisrael. Okay, now that's not words from the Gemara. The Gemara said it depends on whether a king would eat it. So the Rambam is understood to be saying is, if a king, if we serve that Shulchan Aruch, that tells us that a regular person would invite somebody else over to eat it. And Mimela, that's why there's a concern of chasnas. Because if my neighbor gives me a cup of water, there's no special closeness from that because he didn't give me the cup of water. But if he gives me something more sophisticated, he gives me a piece of meat, a cooked piece of meat, that's something he would invite me over. So it causes us to have these good feelings, which could potentially lead to chasnas. Could lead to chasnas. Okay, so it's understood. The Rambam is sort of an extension of what the Gemara said. Okay, or an explanation. So now, the Chazon Ish is understanding that what the king eats is not really the criteria. Even though the Gemara is using those words, it depends on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is the way to tell us, it's the way for us to figure, to judge, it's our barometer,
simon,
for figuring out whether regular, average people would invite each other over for that food. Okay? So in that case, we don't need what the king would invite somebody over for. We need what the king, even what the king would eat by himself, is the kind of food that me and my friends would invite each other over for. And that's the real criteria. What it really depends on is what I would invite my friend over for. And the king is just a way for us to figure that out. So you could say, any king, whatever he eats, even for breakfast. Because that, is, we don't really care what the king eats. As opposed to the others who are learning, who are learning, that it really depends what the king eats. Only the king says the king would eat are those things. Whether I invite my friend over is the secondary part. And like the Gemara seems to say, it depends on the Shulchan Aruch, what the king serves. Okay, now, if so, it could be that what you were saying beforehand, which is what I'm coming back to, even the Chazon Ish only holds that it depends on what the king eats at a formal meal, a private meal, like you were saying. At the king in the story, the king of England eats it for breakfast, even so has a certain level of sophistication to what they eat, even at a meal that's not for the public. Okay? The White House has a chef. You know, they don't just take out a box of cornflakes and eat cornflakes for breakfast, which is one of the big things to talk about. They don't just take out a box of cornflakes, they have a chef who serves them, so there's a certain level of sophistication. So Ken said that even the Chazon Ish only meant to say the things that a king eats at a meal, like you said, Shulchan Aruch, like you said, just on that, it's a certain level of sophistication. But what the king eats while he's watching the ball game is totally not on the radar, which would mean, at least the Chazon Ish, there are some things that'll be mutter.
Is it Shuva from the Chazon Ish written in?
No, it's just
all a story. From
just a story. Lots of people, other people have written Shuva since then. In Shuvas that I saw, but I didn't see any strong writers. Everybody just, when things like they say, the Gemara says it has to be on Shulchan Aruch, and that means, of course, Whichever way they think. I didn't see anybody bringing a riot. I didn't see any riot. They said, don't you see the Gemara says that it has to be Shulchan Aruch? So that means, you end the sentence however you like to. Okay? So I didn't see any good riots to what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? So as you likely know, most of the American Hashgachas take the more lenient approach to this, and they say that to be oil of Shulchan Aruch means what a king serves at a fancy dinner, and we would judge it by what we as Yankee, what he serves at a chasana, okay, and what the ladies' auxiliary serves at their brunch does not count. Okay, that's considered an informal, less sophisticated meal, and that's not considered oil of Shulchan Aruch. That's how most of the American Hashgachas do, not everybody, but most of them do. Follow that, they look at that, which is to say, not like the Chazon Ish, to the point that Rabelsky even bothered him that we should include it in one of the official document that there even is such a Chazon Ish. Okay? He was like, no, we don't hold like that at all. He was like completely rejected. Okay? But it is. I mean, I'm telling you this. There aren't strong guys in either direction. It's just everyone thinks that that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means either like me or it means like whatever I think. That's what it means. Like, you know? But I haven't seen any great guys in it. But we should know that what I say is that's how most Hashgachos do judge it. And what people serve at, when we think about pancakes and breakfast cereals.
It's an example of a food, that would be enough communion.
Pancakes
are bad example. Why are pancakes a bad
example? I'll tell you why. But you ever hear of a thing called crepes?
Yes.
Crepes are pancakes, but they're real thin pancakes and they're served with the malacha.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're wrapped,
why do they serve with malacha?
Huh? Because crepes, I don't remember. There's a name for them. A very fancy
eggs.
Name for them. You take the grape, put it on a plate, you pour some sauce on it, maybe a little dollop of cream, and that is a $75 plate. Well, nice.
Okay, so we've talked about this, and we've argued about this, whether the crepes are or not, or so like a blintz.
I'm not saying like a blintz, but the fact is that you take a regular blintz, don't tell anybody it's a blintz, you pour a sauce over it, you put a dollop of sour cream or fancy cream on it, and that's
it. So we've been back and forth about it. In our blintz place, we make a Bishli Yisrael to keep people like you happy. that's a question.
By the way, it's Cholavad.
Right, it's Cholostam. People eat Cholostam, I have to eat kosher.
Why is it Cholostam?
What's an example of food?
The cream one says breakfast cereals.
What?
Breakfast cereals are on potentially. It's a question about how you should judge them.
Like Wheaties would be the breakfast of champions, might be a Shiloh.
Are you serious? Of course, the maximum breakfast cereal would be usually zero.
If the Melch eats it at his for breakfast, I don't know what Sasha Obama eats for breakfast. Right? I don't know what she eats, but if that's what they serve at the now. He's saying is that it could be that in places like that they don't serve it. No, there's no cereal served there. So we have to know. But potentially, if no one serves it, no one serves that food. No one serves
at a dinner.
Cornflakes.
Breakfast cereals are Bishli Yisrael. That's it. It's like nothing. It doesn't need Bishli Yisrael. It's nothing. It doesn't need Bishli Yisrael. What are you leaving out?
Okay, so that's one of the questions. If you say Chazanish, is that the kula has almost no application. I mean, it has almost no application.
Right, it'll be mocked every time you eat something.
What he'll say, what they would say back to you is that it used to be the kings had more dignity, and the kings would only eat, they were more, limited in their diets. They didn't eat, as in potatoes. That was for the hamoinam. They didn't eat such
maybe they don't have a Denver melech anymore. There's a certain king
right,
you got to look at.
Since they have food changed, they don't have melech anymore. Right, so he's saying is, so we won't have anything to exclude from not also well. So I'm saying is, in the times of the Gemara, that we excluded lots of things by it. And nowadays, it might not, it, according
so
to
maybe,
that,
so maybe everything changes, Maybe then the criteria is not melech anymore.
Because?
If you got a situation where Shulchan Aruch is not so much different than Shulchan Aruch, everybody, it's breakfast table, it's like a regular breakfast table.
So you're saying
fancy dinners because the whole thing is...
He doesn't mean that. He doesn't make a compromise. He says, look, really the dinner is it should depend on what the king eats ever, whatever the king eats. But of course, Chazal meant to exclude the things that are the less sophisticated food. They were trying to exclude certain foods. And we follow the king by his each king by his day. So if the king in our day would eat more food, we'd make more things also. So it becomes a point that the king eats just like everybody else does. So we have to change the din, so to speak. We have to change the criteria to make it back to only the more sophisticated foods.
Right. I mean, I think that's
what we have to do. Describe what I'm trying to say.
What'd you say?
You asked me.
Right. So, the din is that those foods should be included, should be usher, but since it got so out of hand, so to speak, and really we score by the kings in each state, but it got totally out of hand because the king has no dignity.
No class.
Right,
don't say that.
He didn't eat anything, so Mamela, we have to change
the rules. Medina would, I don't know, there's no melt or something.
The Queen of England.
Well, the melt, sir, is a very sharp type person.
You won't see the Queen of England
eating. You go to each place. So in that place, there's no melt, you got to use some other criteria.
You won't see the Queen of England eating a bag of potato chips unless she's the Chedri Chadorim and she loves potato. You would never see her in public eating potato chips. I don't believe it.
So what are you trying to say
is that didn't Shulchan Malachim Chazal or Masakin that it's talking about a steak dinner, now they eat a breakfast in the quiet room where they do it, nobody's around. When they have a meeting and they're having a lunch meeting, they're not serving cereal and milk. They're having chef prepared a hush of a meal for them over there. And therefore, just like there's an Indian of Nechel Chai, not Nechel Chai, which you're not going to argue on that, they say it's an estate dinner, the Malachim, like Shlomo Melech, the Gemara talks about, his Shulchan, or whatever it is. But the I don't want to argue on the Chazon Ish.
So when they're acting
royal. When they're acting royal.
You're explaining what? Yeah. They act royal, that's what you do.
You can say Gemara means Shulchan Malachim means at that time Malachim didn't eat certain foods, and Shulchan Malachim means. Hey, you want to know the posh chat? It's like the clinic. I'm locking me in the table.
Broccoli during Bush's time didn't eat Bush's broccoli.
The Senate is fighting about health care. So yeah. Say the four or six, I forget, six senators who are fighting, who are the main ones negotiating, have been sitting locked in a room for like 2 weeks, literally.
Right.
And I said, all they're eating is junk food. Okay. So you think they eat junk food, that's because they're in private.
They're in private.
They were never
in public.
They
can
live here in Malacca now.
Well, it means the dignitaries.
They're regular people in America.
So Yankee, but when they act royal, when they come to a official function, so that is the shita of what most American Hashgachas follow. That's what you're used to, and that's what most people hold. Like, I'm just bringing up the point.
I'm saying it's for. I'm not about to myself anymore.
No, you're right. That's what most. You work for an American Hashgacha. That's what they do. That's what we do.
You work for a living.
That's what we do. But there is this other way of looking at that.
I look at so many men. Okay.